The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand them over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.' The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, 'Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him, one after another, 'Surely it is not I, Lord.' He said in reply, 'He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born.' Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, 'Surely it is not I, Rabbi.' He answered, 'You have said so.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Last night I had the Mass in Spanish at 6:15 and the church was packed with many people who have been doing the spiritual exercises in Spanish over the past 9 months. We have about 400 that have persevered, thanks be to God. And I asked a pointed question, which I'll ask you people. Why did Judas do that? You heard the gospel today. Why? Why did Judas betray our Lord? Yes, you're taken off guard. It's too early in the morning to respond to that, huh? Haven't had your cup of coffee yet, okay? Well, obviously, what you probably would say is because he's greedy. He's a thief, right? Yes, Father. That would be the normal response. Because he was the one that... he was the treasurer. And John actually says he was a thief. St. John says in his Gospel. That would probably be the most obvious response of 99% of the people. But Fulton Sheen gives, I honestly believe, the best response to that question. And what I'm going to say now, and you people, you're good people. You are, otherwise you wouldn't be here. However, this question, or this response, is pointed at you and me, not just you and myself. And the reason is because Judas fell out of love with Jesus Christ. That's the reason why. Therefore, the greed was just a symptom of the fact that he had a sickness of his heart. Is that Judas probably, when Jesus chose him, loved Jesus. Was his heart always sour? I don't think so. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that when Judas first started to follow Christ, he had love. But what happened is this. His love had grown cold. Now you're good people. And I'm at least trying to be a good priest. I am. I'm trying. You're good people. But it's not good enough. Our danger in the American society is being lazy, fat, and comfortable. Excuse my English, huh? Lazy, fat, and comfortable. That's the American society. And that we might call a good English word, complacency. What does complacency mean? It's the status quo. I'll stay where I'm at. Well, Father, you know, I go to Mass at 8 o'clock every morning. I say my rosary with you. I say the chaplet of Divine Mercy. Father, you know, hey, I'm a pretty good guy, huh? Be careful. Because with you, as well as with me, the danger is we stay where we're at. It's not good enough. If you're coming to Mass every day, you're receiving the Eucharist, Rosary, and Chaplet of Divine Mercy, you're listening to homilies. My friends, look, hey, we got to go up. We can't stay here. We got to up and up and up. You know what it's like? I used to run cross country. It's when you've already run a mile and a half, you've got this huge hill that you've got to climb before you break the tape. And you're running into the wind, if you like a good image from nature. You're running into the wind and you're climbing a hill. You've already run a mile and a half and you've almost run out of gas, you think. Maybe that's an overly graphic image of the spiritual life, but I think all of you understand that if you have some sports inclinations, as many of you do. So let me give you three biblical verses which I think are very parallel and give a motivation so that we can go beyond the status quo. Go beyond the status quo, which means I'm a good guy and that's good enough. Okay, the three biblical verses that came to me when I was doing my meditation this morning, because I do my holy hour every morning, like you people, I go beyond the hour, is this. Are you ready? Two verses are taken from Revelation chapter 3, and the third is taken from Luke 16. These verses came out to me, almost haunting me this morning, which was my meditation. And that's the way the Holy Spirit comes, challenging us to go beyond where we are and to keep climbing. Here it is. You have lost your first love. That says it all. You've lost your first love. Be careful, otherwise I will take away your candelabra. You see this? What's this? I will take away your, can you say the word? Candelabra. Now somebody's going to say, Father Broome, what the heck does that mean? I think all of you have to meditate and God will speak to all of you in a different way. That's why I promote meditation. We're all different. I'm a priest and religious is going to be talking to me in a very different way from you people because you don't have holy orders. God is going to be challenging me in a very different way than you people. But if I listen, as you heard in the first reading, that Joanne was reading, we are called to listen to God. Taking away your candelabra. And I haven't finished yet, and I'll give it to someone else. Wow. Take away the candelabra and give it to someone else. Second verse. It's probably the strongest you have in the book of Revelation to the church of Laodicea. You know it. As soon as I start to vocalize this verse, you'll be able to finish it. You're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. Come on, don't fake you don't know that. You've heard that many times. You're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I will. You people have heard it too, you on the confessional line. We've heard it, right? Kind of scary verses, huh? And I'd like to give a homily of another 90 minutes on this topic. But I believe one of the biggest problems of the church today are lukewarm Catholics. As Michael Voris says, maybe I shouldn't quote him, but I will. Michael Voris says, we belong to the church of nice. We belong to the church of nice. We're nice. We're nice people. Okay, here's the third verse. Luke 15. You ready? It's a parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Anybody remember that parable? The rich man, probably like a typical American. Typical American? That's middle class, no, upper middle class. Upper middle class. Maybe even not rich. Says, you're neither hot, rather, why did this rich man, what happened to this rich man, where does he end up? Well, it doesn't seem as if he's really done anything really wrong. You know, the only thing he's doing is, okay, he's dressed in purple, like me, okay? He's dressed in purple like me. He's sitting down at a table. Nothing wrong to sit down at a table, right? And he's eating. That's what he's described. Technically, there's nothing sinful in that. I'm dressed in purple, right? He's seated at a table. He's eating sumptuously. Really, technically, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with that. But there was something wrong, because there was a poor man at his gate, and he knew it. He was not oblivious to that poor man that we call Lazarus. He was not oblivious to that. And he wouldn't lift up his finger to give this man anything to eat. That was enough to cast him into hell. So he's not cast into hell for what he did do, but for what he failed to do. Yes. Not for what he did do, a sin of commission, but rather a sin of omission, not doing what he should have done. So what I'm pointing out today is this. It's very easy for us to just kick back, let our hair down, as we say in New York, and kind of enjoy life. Kick back, let your hair down, and enjoy life. Just go with the flow. But what we have to do is we got to go against that. We got to be counter-cultural and counter-spiritual. Now, if you find in your spiritual life, let me give you the remedy. you find in your spiritual life that daily you find yourself really struggling. Do any of you feel that way? I do. How about you? Am I the only one? You find yourself daily struggling, sometimes falling underneath the cross. I mean, Jesus fell underneath the cross 3 times in this. Emmerich gives heaven falling many more times than just 3. Falling. And then getting up. Falling and getting up. And you're really striving. And you go to bed at the end of the day, you're falling half dead in your bed because you've really struggled during the course of the day. My friends, you're on the right path. You're on the right path. But if you've arrived at a point in your spiritual life, I go to Mass, I receive communion, my rosary, the chaplet of Divine Mercy, kind of pat yourself on the back, I go to St. Peter Chanel, okay? Father David Keeter said once, he pats himself so strong in his back that he breaks his arm. You're in danger. Because you have fallen into lukewarmness. You've fallen into tepidity. And as Thinker was meditating, lukewarmness, tepidity leads to mediocrity, right? Yes. The end result of that is mediocrity. Jesus does not want mediocre Catholics. Jesus wants Catholics that are on fire, that have a passion for Him. So let's turn to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Recognize there is a danger for Father Broom, and you people too, not just me. For you people too, we can fall into lukewarmness, which will lead us to a mediocre lifestyle. Let's pray to Mary, St. John the Evangelist, St. Faustina, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Philip Neri, St. Ignatius Loyola, St. Francis Xavier. All of them had fire. Let's pray that they would, through our prayers, give us fire. Jesus said, I've come to cast fire, and not a piece, until that fire be enkindled. Amen.